The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek back in the chair today in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. It was Wyatt on Wednesday. It was Brian Ortega, man of the streets, man of Vegas yesterday. Back to Wyatt as we work our way back to Kelly. How you doing, man?
Good, good. It's I had a good night last night with the Golden Knights winning.
Yeah.
Tied it up 1-1. Bucks won on Wednesday, so it's been a good sports day, knock on wood.
I tried to do the thing where I hear the horn from my apartment and try to get in a quick live bet. Didn't work out.
They were scoring a bunch there in the third period.
Mark Stone showed up, scored a bunch late. Vegas Golden Knights among the three teams yesterday in the NHL in the Stanley Cup playoffs that managed to knot up their series at one game apiece. Remember, it was a bunch of home teams that had lost resoundingly in their respective game ones. Three of those four get it done yesterday. Not only the Golden Knights getting off the schneid against the Jets with a 5-2 win as a minus 150 favorite, but also the Leafs. And boy, did they need that with all the pressure of Toronto and the expectations of that team and the drought, both for series and Stanley Cup. Leafs got out to a really quick start against the Lightning. They held up 7-2 after the Lightning had gotten a touchdown against them in the first game. They returned the favor. Also, the Lanch, this one wasn't quite as clean as the others, but the Avalanche come back from a 2-0 deficit against the Kraken. You're like, oh no, is this really happening?
Did you see the Kraken player who blew the kiss to the fans? One of the goal.
Oh no, I didn't.
Oh, he did. He turned to the fans, blew him a kiss.
Oh boy,
they blow the lead. So it's like,
don't do that.
Wait to fire up the defending champs.
The only team that didn't tie it up last night, the New Jersey Devils get the booby prize. They trail 2-0. The Rangers got them again, 5-1. So that series goes back to New York with the Rangers. Now it's on their stick to just close it out. But you know about hockey home ice, so we'll see if that holds. But the Devils are the team that's in the hole the most. We'll talk to Jake Hahn later on the show about all of these games coming up. Game 3's on the way. John Legesa will join us to talk Major League Baseball. He's got a couple prop bets on today's slate. Paul Carr with Premier League picks. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Stormy Bonatoni will join us in studio. It's the last week of the XFL. We had Felica come on here yesterday, give us USFL picks. Today, Stormy comes on. She'll talk about the XFL's final week and really the XFL playoffs, where two teams have already established themselves as the home teams, division winners, in the semifinals of the XFL, and talk about how she's sort of incorporating XFL betting into the broadcast, which is her real impact on things. So we're thrilled to have her, the co-host of the Lombardi Line, in studio. And then, of course, the NBA. Nick Whalen will join us. So we're completely packed. And by the way, I guess we're completely packed. I better say what I want to say real quick. But the NBA last night, I mean, what do you say? There's so much to the first game. First of all, the Sixers end up taking a 3-0 lead over the Brooklyn Nets in their best of seven series. And we'll talk to Nick about all this. But this game, first of all, if you're a Nets backer and you were catching 4.5, goodness, what an ending, where the Nets somehow found themselves down 3, then they threw the ball away. Sixers end up winning by 5. Just a brutal beat for Nets backers, or a brutal push. But this game was marred by really strange officiating on flagrant calls. One, 2 minutes, 26 seconds into the game, Nick Claxton does the walkover Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid proceeds to kick up towards his privates. Misses, by the way, which shouldn't really be an issue here, because if he connects, you would think the adjudication of such a thing would be automatic. But he misses, and he only gets a flagrant one for that. And juxtaposed against Draymond Green the other night, stomping on Domantas Sabonis in the Warriors-Grizzles series, that seemed very curious. Very, very curious. Also, later in that game, Harden gets a flagrant two for what seemed just like a basketball play. Claxton later gets bounced for taunting. So here would be my betting thought on this, though. So the Sixers up 3-0. The history of the NBA is 0 and forever. You don't come back from a 3-0 deficit. It's fait accompli at this point. So I would think, and you can, by the way, the NBA does reserve the right to review, even if it's a flagrant one, they can review this and they can suspend Joel Embiid. So for game 4, I have a feeling the NBA, in order to appear consistent, may suspend Joel Embiid. This is me just speculating here. And so Brooklyn's, what, a six-point dog right about now for game four? I think I'm going to grab those points because I have a feeling a suspension is coming down because I get it. Draymond Green is like a lifetime. It's like a Quincy Jones Lifetime Achievement Awards of being a terrible human on a basketball court. And Joel Embiid doesn't have that. I get that. But you still can't have the appearance of such an inconsistency on your biggest stage in your postseason. And if Joel Embiid connects, just to sort of take it to the ridiculous, he's clearly not. I mean, like, if Claxton is just down on the ground writhing in pain for 5 minutes, there's no way they keep Embiid in that game. And, oh, by the way, let's take it to another extreme. If Draymond did that, they'd give him solitary confinement. Like, I mean, so you can't have this. So I do think that that's a possibility, especially, by the way, in a 3-0 series where the NBA doesn't really have anything to lose. In Draymond's case, when they suspended him for game three, it was, the Warriors had their backs against the wall, the proverbial backs against the wall. They needed Draymond much more than the Sixers will need Joel Embiid in game four of a 3-0 series. So I don't think it's a big deal for the NBA to actually do that, and I think they will. So that could be a betting angle for game four of that Nets-Sixers series, an otherwise sort of ho-hum series at this point. By the way, in the end in that game, Joel Embiid just had one of his worst games, period, just in terms of the box score. Didn't really get it done for the Sixers. It was Tyrese Maxey's 25 that really led the way. Embiid, it was 14-10 in the end. Harden, 21. But if you look at Harden's box score, by the way, and he was, again, kicked out for the flagrant two, he was minus 15 in the box score. Like, look at all the plus minuses. And then look at Harden's. It's just such an outlier there. Then Golden State did get off the schneid. They get a game after trailing 2-0 in the best-of-seven series against the Kings. Kings held serve in Sacktown. The Warriors did their home road thing. Warriors win at 114-97. They never trailed in this game. They won their first game of the season, shooting below 41% from the field. Warriors shot 40%, still managed to get the W. See what I did there? Kings shot 38%. Steph with 36, 12 of 25 from the field, 6 of 12 from behind the arc. And Kevon Looney, 20 boards was the key. 9 offensive, added 9 assists. De'Aaron Fox, 26, 10, and 9 in defeat. And then the last game, I feel so bad for JVT because JVT, our own Jonathan Von Tobel, is so invested and locked into the Clippers. And then we leave here yesterday. We're like, okay, well, looks like we could be, this could be a play on the Clippers. Why are the Clippers dogs here? Well, then Kawhi Leonard, it's announced, oh, sprained knee. And we have the Woj tweet where Woj is like, yeah, he had this before the series started and he's been playing through it, but yeah, he can't go in game three. And so that soared immediately from 2.5 to 6.5, landed at 8. Here's the Woj tweet. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. Leonard aggravated knee in game one, played through it in game two, and is expected to be day-to-day ahead of game four on Saturday. Source telling ESPN the injury is not related to his previous ACL injury. So you just look, and the Suns get it done, by the way. The Suns yesterday led by as many as 13 on multiple occasions. Clip Show did get it down to 3 late, under 2 minutes left, but then a Torrey Craig 3 put an end to that, and the Clippers never got within one score again. Booker with 45 on 18 of 29 shooting. KD added 28. Norm Powell, 42 in the absence of Kawhi, 42 in defeat, 15 of 23 from the floor, 7 of 12 from behind the arc. Westbrook went 38-12. Clippers shot 54.2% of the field, but 18 turnovers, and the Suns take a 2-1 lead. So for the Suns' perspective moving forward, without the depth, the lack of depth that they have, they want to try to get out of the series as quickly as possible. And if you're the Clippers or the Clippers fan base or bettors, you're just like, in the end, what a disaster this has been. You can't have Kawhi and Paul George on the court ever together.
I was going to say that, Gil. How frustrating is it for a Clippers fan? You lose by 5 without your top 2 players. It's like, man, what could be? It goes back to 2 years ago when Kawhi got hurt and missed the Western Conference Finals.
And then you wonder with Kawhi's, oh, well, if you miss so many games, are you game shape? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of theories out there. But a knee sprain is a knee sprain. Real quick, because we'll talk to Nick Whalen about all the basketball. But I do have a feeling about an Embiid suspension. The NFL draft, I added 3 more bets yesterday to the NFL draft. Boyd added a few props. Shout out to Boyd for having done so. But I took Lucas Van Ness as a top 10 pick at plus 260. A lot of people, including Daniel Jeremiah, think the Eagles grab him at 10. Daniel Jeremiah does not believe the Eagles will take Bijan Robinson. So at plus 260, I took Lucas Van Ness, hoping that the Eagles nab him at 10. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I took another Jaxon Smith-Njigba position under 14.5. This one at Boyd at minus 107. Basically, if Jaxon Smith-Njigba gets drafted, 20th, my draft is toast. But if he gets drafted early, and especially if he's the first wideout, it's a good draft for me. And then total offensive linemen selected in the first round, over 5.5. I laid a lot of juice on that, minus 281. I don't think that's high enough. I think you have four offensive linemen that are absolutely a lock to go. Matt Brown was actually saying this in one of the promos we run. He says four will go in the top 18. And at that point, I only have to get two more. A lot of people believe seven offensive linemen will get drafted in the first round. So the over 5.5. The only other thing, just, and this is under the sort of hot gossip category, see this leak supposedly? So the NFL runs this thing. It's not a Wunderlich test. Wunderlich test is an IQ. There's a cognitive test that they give out called the S2 test. And someone leaked supposedly the results of this. Shane Hallam, who does a lot of draft analysis, it said Bryce Young was in the 98th percentile of this, and we don't even have it listed. But at the bottom, C.J. Stroud was listed in the 18th percentile. So it's not one person didn't score in 98 and the other score in 18. But those are percentiles. Now, percentiles can be deceiving, right? Because if they're all bunched up together, it's not that big of a difference. So a lot of people will see this now and be like, oh, there's what's at afoot here. But it should be noted that the folks over at S2, Bryce Ally, was on the Pro Football Focus podcast with our buddy Sam Munson and said, we're aware of the leaks, none of it's true. Doesn't matter what we think about it. What do the owners think about it? I can see how Tepper might run with that, though. Coming back. John Legesa next on MLB.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Before we get to Legesa, I want to just circle back to this thing because we rushed through at the end about this cognition test. So people are the reason that this comes up this morning is because you have a lot of people out. Brady Quinn was saying some stuff about C.J. Stroud. Our own Michael Lombardi was as well. And you can, it's up to you to buy into whatever you want to about any of these guys. That's less important than how GMs will take this. But in your assessment of your NFL draft bets, maybe you can try to assess what GMs might think of this. So this is, again, this is not a Wunderlich test. The Wunderlich test was famously an IQ test. This is a cognition test for NFL, specifically in this case for quarterbacks, trying to determine the cognitive category of why they do what they do on a football field. So it's a sitting test where they're like, okay, you know, why make the decision to throw here? What is it that you're looking at? If you remove on the computer certain players off the football field, can you as the quarterback say who should have been where and when? So it's that kind of thing. And again, these are not scores. These are percentiles, so it could be deceptive. Bryce Young ends up with a 98%. See, Jake Haner does his right up there as well, 96% percentile. Will Levis, 93rd percentile. On down and C.J. Stroud ends up with 18th percentile. And again, maybe they're bunched up and there's not that big of a difference. These are leaked numbers, as reported by Shane Hallam. Now, the NFL uses this. This test has been around for about 20 years. They've sort of honed it and made it better through the 20 years. Refined it, I should say. But again, the gentleman by the name of Brandon Ally went on Sam Monson's PFF, Pro Football Focus podcast, and said, we're aware of these leaked numbers. Don't believe them. In other words, he thinks he's basically trying to say that they're not all that accurate. Why I bring it up is because of obviously what's circulating, and forget what you think, because really the choice for the person listening is, do you believe the leaked numbers, and do you believe that this is what's afoot between the ever-widening gap seemingly between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, or therefore also believe that the denial from Brandon Ally at S2, doing the cognition test, he's just being nice and saying, yeah, don't believe everything you read about this stuff. So there's that side. And then there's the other side of things where people would be like, does this make you 6 foot 3 inches tall? I missed that part of this test. Because that would be the other part, right? It's just a tool. But for us at betting the draft, and all of this is just data points, it ought to be, by the way, just for the NFL scouting divisions, right, in the GM's front office on down, it ought to be just one data point in the whole thing. I would hope so. But it does make you then think, well, David Tepper, this is not Dan Snyder picking, where Dan Snyder just wants to be the quarterback's friend. Oh, I love you, Dwayne Haskins. I want to be your friend. This is David Tepper, who's an analytics guy, who might, if all other things are equal, if these numbers were actually true, this might be enough to put him over the top to pick Bryce Young. For me, it's not, even if you already think Bryce Young is going number one, this might be more important at number two. Would the Houston Texans lean into something like this and say, oh, well, we don't want to pick him because of this? I don't know. I happen to think, once again, that C.J. Stroud doesn't go any worse than number two. Because I just don't think the Houston Texans can afford to pass on a quarterback. But we'll see. We're less than a week away now, 6 days away. But that's the latest sort of scuttle on that stuff. Let's talk some baseball. John Legace joins us. We're always thrilled to see John on the show. He's both an MLB and NFL writer at The Athletic, host of the Call to the Pen show on the Hammer Betting Network, Rob Pozzola's outfit. How you doing, Johnny? What's happening, man?
What's up, Gil? I miss you, man. Gosh, you got to be careful being so interesting leading in. You got me distracted thinking about that. I love the idea of trying to quantify these determinative qualities in quarterbacks. Now, granted, I don't know the answer to that, right? I don't have that algo answer. Hopefully, I do have the one for baseball betting today, though.
Hopefully so. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is fascinating, by the way, because you can see, like, if you know, it's one thing, because let's say the people who would detract from C.J. Stroud who are more Bryce Young is better, you can understand their point if they're like, well, at Ohio State, the talent is such that, just like at Alabama, but the talent is such at Ohio State that receivers could be that wide open that you don't need to really read defenses perfectly, right, that kind of thing. You could take that thought and sort of run with it. Or you could say, wait a minute, didn't I see him crush Georgia? And that's all I need to see.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's as simple as what you said before. It's the opportunity cost of passing on a potentially lucrative rookie contract. Yeah. I mean, you know, from a franchise standpoint. And even if it doesn't work out, sometimes you could ship those guys and still get fair market value or more and then get another shot at draft pick. So, yeah, just sometimes it's an easy game.
Yeah, I shouldn't say crush George. I just fare very well against a pro, you know, player stack defense, I should say, to be more accurate.
You can't argue the value of that rookie quarterback contract and how it allows you to build around that once you have that kind of foundational piece in place. Now, yeah. I don't know if Stroud's going to be that. I have no idea. You're asking the wrong guy. But I do know I would take the stab at two. You don't need to be a lifetime GM for that one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. None of us are talent evaluators. None of us have ever claimed to be. But that's, I think, with, you know, I said that for years. You only win a Super Bowl with a quarterback overperforming on a rookie deal or a Hall of Famer. There has not been an exception to that since 2002 with Brad Johnson and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Brad Johnson.
So you got to take that shot. Okay, you have a couple prop bets. First of all, how's your baseball season been going so far?
So far, we're doing pretty good. You know, being up a couple units at all, right? Because I actually tie percentage of stack to units. That's always a good thing. Although you never want to put the cart before the horse. And betting the baseball season is like going to a really good party. You know, the person that can get themselves in trouble is you, right? You don't want to hang out too close to the keg the whole time. Go have some fun, you know, and be responsible, because that's really what it's all about. It is such a marathon that we're not even thinking about year-to-date results. But I think what we do want to do is look at the overall trends, something you and I always speak about. Right now, something I wrote about at The Athletic, we're already approaching 10-year highs in BABIP, batting average on balls in play, and the weather is still cold, right, relatively. So it's only April. It's going to get a lot hotter.
This is what
they
wanted.
So that number is most likely going to go up.
Yeah, this is what they wanted.
So what I'm going at is I've been betting with offense, people. I generally like to bet with pitching, and I know I've been throwing people off a little bit. I'm usually not a totals guy. Right now, the trend is our friend. We bring that from Wall Street, right? Let's stay within the trend. I've been betting with offense because that's where the money is. Very hard to bet on pitching right now.
Okay. You go to Milwaukee for a prop bet that you like. This is Marla Tellez's cousin, Rowdy Tellez, by the way. What do you like on Rowdy?
Oh, Rowdy. Got to love him. Man, first of all, he's going up against Nick Pivetta. Last 193 innings, 4.5 ERA, 1.4 whip. So lots of base runners. Not enough Ks, too many walks. And that's where we want to look at the first strike rate is too low and the chase rate is too low. So what happens is Fetto falls behind and has to come into the zone where we get into the bad math that we love so much, right? 43% fly ball, 46% hard hit, 10% barrel. What do you get? More than 1.5 home runs per nine and nearly 400 expected wOBA on contact. That's a really great isolated statistic, purely on contact. And year to date, it's been really ugly for him, you know, versus lefties. So just cue up Rowdy, right? Sometimes again, pretty easy, small set, big set for Pivetta. He's really struggled against lefties with the fastball. 56% usage is just too much to a 650 X slug on the way out. So give me Rowdy against righties on the year. Say that three times fast. 63 plate appearances, 43% hard hit rate. The triple slash that I like to use in my betting stuff, he'll 269 BA, 942 OPS. But then maybe more importantly, the number I like to use is ISO, right? Isolated slugging, which is quite literally a measure of extra base hit. So 308 ISO is 30% extra base hit rate. Again, if we're looking for four at bats, 30% should cover it. A bit surprised so far in the year, 15% barrel, 400 X wOBA, two doubles and five shamalama ding dongs. Over 1.5 total bases, man. Come on, one plus 125. He's batting cleanup or third every single day against righties. The books, I think, are a little bit slow to get these prices. We're going to get four or five Rowdy at bats today with chances at this stuff. He's aggressive in the zone. So, yeah, I love these bets. That's what we've been making our bread right now.
All right. The Brewers soaring, by the way. 14-5. They're big favorites. Minus 165 favorites today. But Legace going with Rowdy Tellez. Over 1.5 total bases and plus money. You're also doing the same with Julio Rodriguez and the Mariners.
Yeah, the same thing. And again, it's plus money always at the center of these bets. You could take both of these bets, take an even amount, put them on both. If we hit one or two, it's a profitable venture. And I see you at the window. We're going up against Steven Matz. The thing I've been looking at year over year, we don't want to overreact. But especially, like I mentioned, balls in play, the batting average is up, more runners. Pitchers that pitch to contact and have lost velo, Matt's checking those boxes. So far, the velo down more than a mile an hour, 17 innings, 12 earned so far, 6.5 ERA, 1.8 year to date. But you can go back the last 65 innings, 5.6 ERA, 1.4 whip. The chase rate's not there. So again, these are the things we're looking for. Pitchers that don't get ahead, they fall behind. And then we're going to take our chances in the zone. Against righties, he struggled 800 OPS, 10 barrel, 400 on contact, expected wOBA. So give me J-Rod. He always kills lefty this year, especially. OPS over 1,000, 375 ISO. So he's really going at it, 20% barrel, three doubles and a home run. That's another one. I sort of plus 125 or plus 130, which I really don't get. He's leading off. So you're kind of assured that extra plate appearance, which again is the currency that we deal in, opportunity. So
Thank you, John.
I love both of these plus bets, you know.
Appreciate it. Rowdy and Julio, over 1.5 total bases, both plus money. Thank you. John Legace, everybody.
Take care.
Jake Hahn on the NHL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL Draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show host and guest. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Two things, Wyatt, before we get to Jake Hahn here on the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs. One, I'm pretty sure John Legace quoted a metric called Shamalama Ding Dong in the previous segment. I want to check the tape on that.
That is definitely the word of the day.
Okay.
I was not expecting that. That brightened my morning up.
The thing about it is he like throws out so many acronyms that most people are like, sure, Shamalama Ding Dong, sure. Because he's like X-Fit, you know, not even X-Fit, but he's like got his own stuff that he's going through. And then the other thing is, and we'll talk to Nick Whalen about this again from the NBA, but I didn't say this in the first segment, I should have, which is, you know, the whole thing with that Clippers thing, it's one, if you're a Clippers backer, if you're a Clippers better, if you're a better period in general, like if Woj's report is right, he got hurt in game one with a sprained knee, not on an injury report in game two, not on an injury report in game three. And now he's day to day, but it's like, we're betting on this stuff, man. Like we have to have some sense of what's going on. This, you know, juxtaposed against the backdrop for years and years, all the integrity of all this stuff. Show us some integrity, would you? Let's talk some hockey. Jake Hahn joins us, everybody, co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Always thrilled to see Jake. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Gil. Happy Friday. It's been a really fun week in the hockey world and basketball as well. I've been watching a lot of the NBA playoffs, so this is a great time of the year for me. There's always something on to watch, and I am a little bit jealous of people like you guys that live on the West Coast because there's some late nights out here on the East Coast, but I'm having a lot of fun this week.
Yeah, man. No, it's again, we say it all the time. As someone who grew up on the East Coast like myself, once you get the West Coast sports schedule, and particularly with football on football Sundays, American football, where games are at 10 a.m. as opposed to 1 p.m., your day starts at 1 p.m., you can never go back. You could never go back. And we had a basketball doubleheader the other night where, like, game three started in the, you know, you're like, wow, we're not even close to the end of this. And nobody watched the Nuggets game, the first game, because it was so late. Let's talk about last night first before we get to all your plays today, because I know you have a lot of shots on goal prop bets today. Okay, the Devils are down 2-0. I was sort of throwing this out to Andy McNeil yesterday, which is, okay, which of any of these teams, because everyone, you know, all the home teams were down 1-0 yesterday. If any of these teams, I said to him, go down 2-0, might you consider, like, which are the teams you'd consider a bet on? Now, the Devils are the one that, of the four, that fell to a 2-0 deficit in their series against the Rangers. He immediately texted me. He's like, I don't want any part of them in an adjusted series price. Are you of that same mind?
I would be of that same mind. Now, I have the Rangers series price. I also have a Rangers Cup future as well. So I will not be dipping into the Devils. I mean, the 4-1 number, which I think is where the series price is at right now, is a little bit tempting for a series that, you know, isn't going to involve a lot of travel, right? It's New Jersey, it's New York. So you can argue, okay, the Devils could feel comfortable at MSG, but that building's going to be rocking this weekend. And I just flat out think that the Rangers are the more ready team and just the better team right now. And that's why I picked them in the series. I had the Rangers in both of the first two games, Gil, and I also had the over 5.5 in both games and got lucky to hit it in both games. Like, it came down right to the wire and a couple of blowout wins for the Rangers, and they ended up cashing the over. So I'm going to continue to look at overs throughout the course of this series, even when it heads back to New York. But I feel like the Rangers finish off this series in 5 or 6 games, in my opinion. I still think the Devils will have their mark and maybe win a game or two, but coming back to actually win the series, I think is too far going down 2-0 and losing both your home games.
One more thing about yesterday before we go to today, which is, of the other three, I'm going to assume you think the Avalanche getting back, you know, coming back from the 2-0 deficit yesterday, you can count on them moving forward. Maybe I shouldn't assume that, but of the other two, I'm more curious. The Leafs, under a lot of pressure, got it done against the Lightning to tie that series up. And the Knights here, much to the happiness of a lot of locals, found a way to get it done yesterday, even though they trailed to the Jets early. Which of those feels the most sort of affirming to you, and which of the two is the one that you doubt the most?
Well, I am wearing the Vegas Golden Knights shirt right now because they did get the big win last night. It was nice to see Mark Stone, and he came back for game one, but he didn't quite look himself, but he did look himself in the third period last night, scores a couple of big goals, the classic Mark Stone celebration. So maybe that gives this Vegas team the life they needed, because they had no life in the first game, like no life. They could not even generate a quality scoring chance in the first game. So they've got a heartbeat, but I still like the Jets in this series. I like the Jets coming in. You know, you're seeing the series price not too far away from what it was, you know, pre-series. I believe the Jets were around plus 140. Now it's about plus 120. So you're getting a little bit of a worse number on the Jets, but they do now have home ice advantage. And Winnipeg at home is a really good team, and they're going to have just a crazy crowd. They call it the whiteout, Gil, in Winnipeg, and apparently they're going to get like 10 centimeters of snow on Saturday in Winnipeg, which is just classic playoff weather in Winnipeg. So I still feel like the Jets are going to win this series. I will look to be betting the Jets in game three as well. I think they're the better team, but I will give Vegas credit for stepping up and winning a big game too. I think this will be a long series either way.
Okay, quartet of games tonight, all game threes. The Hurricanes do have a 2-0 lead against the Islanders as they go back to Long Island. The others are all knotted up at one apiece, most notably the Bruins and the Panthers. Bruins, a minus 155 favorite on the road. Stars and Wild. Stars, very small favorites on the road. And then the Oilers and Kings. Oilers about a minus 160 favorite there. Do you like any of the sides in any four of these games tonight?
Yeah, well, there's three very intriguing home dogs to me here, Gil. Actually, all four of the underdogs, even the road dog in the Canes, is intriguing to me as well. I sort of looked at the Canes series as they would hold serve at home, which they did in their first two home games. And I feel like they're going to take one of these games in New York. So it's kind of up to the bettor. Do you want to take them in game three? Do you want to take them in game four? I feel like they're going to find a way to win one of these games. So that's something you're going to have to decide to see which game you want to target. I might go with tonight. I might wait and see and go with game four for the Hurricanes. But the three home dogs is where it really interests me the most. If you watch the first two games between Florida and Boston, it was kind of eye-opening. Boston was the biggest favorite going into any series in the first round. And Florida looked really good. I mean, the Panthers could have easily won both games if it wasn't for a great performance from Linus Ullmark in game one. The Panthers could be up 2-0 right now. So to get that home dog price with Florida, a spot where they've been pretty good the last couple of years, that's very tempting. So I'm looking at the Panthers tonight at that price, and Minnesota about -105 on home ice as well. I don't think they're getting the respect from the odds makers for going into Dallas and taking a game. Now they are a little bit banged up, and you know, they have a couple big players out of the lineup, but so does Dallas. Pavelski is out of the lineup for them. He's not traveling with the team. So I like Minnesota as a slight home dog. I'm going to stay away from the Kings, even though I think they have a very legit chance on home ice. And I do like the price. I just don't want to go against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers right now. And I think they feel confident after that game two win, but all the home dogs intrigue me. And I think there's a lot of value on the card tonight from a home team perspective.
But Panthers and Wild, top of the heap for you?
Yeah. Those would be the plays for me. I think the Wild, they really stand out at about -105. I think that line should be flipped. I think Minnesota should be about -115, maybe up to -120 on home ice in this game. We don't know starting goaltenders as I talk to you right now, but that is key in this series. Philip Gustafson started game one for the Wild. It went to double overtime. He was terrific. And he helped them win that game and ultimately take home ice advantage. They went with Marc-Andre Fleury in game two. It did not work out. They gave up 7 goals and they lost the game. So I fully expect them to go back to Philip Gustafson tonight. Maybe you see a shift in the odds when that confirmation is made, but I totally expect Gustafson to be in net, and that's part of the reason why I like the Wild to win this game tonight.
Boy, if the Panthers win tonight, it becomes that time where the Bruins will get super-duper nervous, or as we like to say here on this show, hockey will have happened, right? A 65-win team, yeah, sure, they're down 2-1 in a best of 7. It's hockey. All right, let's do 20 seconds on each of these. You have 5 shots on goal props. Let's start with the Hurricanes game. You have a Hurricane prop.
Yeah, party Marty Natchez. Everyone likes to party at playoff time, and he's hit in the first two games of this series. Just barely, he's gone over his 2.5 total, but he's got to 3 in both games. The Canes have some injuries as well. Teuvo Teravainen's going to be out for this series, so I think they're going to lean a little heavier upon Marty Natchez, and he's that trigger guy on the power play for them as well.
Game two tonight, you have something on Brandon Montour of the Panthers.
Yeah, Montour, like these numbers on home ice for Brandon Montour in terms of shooting are actually crazy, Gil. 12 straight home games he's gone over this total. 14 of his last 15 home games he's gone over this total. So he just missed on the road. He had 2 shots on goal in both of the games in Boston. Better matchup for him on home ice. And that Florida Panthers shot counter, they're very generous in Florida counting the shots. So I like Montour the most.
That's something good to know, though, that it's shots on goal. So we've talked about, mainly on Primetime, actually, we talked about how subjective that can be. All right, game three, the Stars and the Wild, you have a player on each side here, beginning with Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, Tyler Seguin of the Dallas Stars. I mentioned Joe Pavelski being out of the lineup. Seguin's been bumped up to the top line to play with Robertson and Hintz, first power play unit as well. So I like that spot in the lineup for him. I still think you're getting a good price. And Matt Boldy, over 3.5 for the Minnesota Wild. 7 shots in each of the first two games. Get the home ice matchup tonight as well. They're going to be looking to get Boldy involved in the offense.
All right, and then finally in the nightcap on the Kings side of the Kings-Oilers game.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to ride Adrian Kempe here. I've taken him in both games. You're still getting plus money for the over 3.5. He's had 25 shots on goal in his last 5 games. And like I said, he's hit in both of the first two games. I like him even more on home ice. So we're going to back Adrian Kempe here.
Jahan4 is the Twitter. Yes?
That's right, Gil. Yep.
The number 4, Jahan, Jahan4. Thank you, Jake. Enjoy the games, man.
Great stuff, Gil. Happy Friday.
You too. Jake Hahn, everybody. We'll talk some Premier League picks with Paul Carr on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game. And if only one run is scored in the first, that's one run, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As always, offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read a couple of these. One, first of all, there's this. This is from. Well, I'll read that one next. This is from Old Guy Get Off My Lawn, talking about a stat that that trend that we talked about the other day. He goes, does the stat that picking the winner of an NBA playoff game covers the spread an overwhelming majority of the time impact how you bet in-game? It's a great question based on the fact that we spent 5 minutes talking about it the other day. And what he's referring to is, again, this postseason in the NBA and last postseason in the NBA. And the streak just, one of the longer streaks just got snapped last night with the Clippers-Suns outcome, where basically if you can pick the winner of the game, the spread doesn't come into play. And it's now up to, even with that loss against that last night, the number since the beginning of last postseason, play-in games included, is 106-11. So in other words, dogs either win outright or the favorite wins and covers. That has happened 106 out of 117 times this postseason in the NBA and last postseason in the NBA. And we are not a trends show. You know, if you've listened to this show, if you listen to Betting Dork, if you listen to Beating the Book, I'm not about trends. But this one is so ridiculously off the charts, 90.5%, that it's worth bringing up. Cleve T.A. was the first guy that brought it up on Twitter, our buddy Cleve. And he's not a trends guy either, but it's just like it's so ridiculous that you're like, wow, what's the story here? And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, again, playoff spreads don't tend to be as wide. Still doesn't explain 90.5%. I would suggest, and I suggested this the other day, that a lot of it has to do with these teams are so, there's so much load management. There's so many players that play sparingly, and even what they do, you don't know if it's full. You just don't have a good sense of every team. And so it tends to, you know, create strange lines, not to mention the fact that then there's injuries and all that kind of stuff. To answer your question, it doesn't. Like, I don't think about that. If I'm making an in-game play, am I like, hey, wait a minute, 90.5% of these the last two postseasons has resulted in either a dog winning outright or a favorite covering and winning. I don't, because I don't feel it's really that should be actionable above all, to put it that way. But it's a good question based on, you know, us going over it. It certainly follows logically that you would ask that question, because some people might, you know, be like, oh, this trend is the greatest thing in the world. I absolutely have to follow it. I do not. Corbin, holy crap, 3+ days off for a photo shoot for Kelly. Must have been the most extreme photo shoot ever. Must be in some rough shape. If we don't see pictures of you guys snowboarding, rock climbing, and skydiving, I'm going to be very disappointed. Very disappointed. Not those things, but there is golf and football and that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, Michelle's really good at her job. She can Photoshop a couple,
yeah,
couple photos for you guys.
Kelly's like, I can't do this anymore.
I'll tell you what, I woke up this morning, I was really hating Kelly. And when that alarm went off at like 4:30, I was like, oh.
Oh, you poor thing. Oh, wow.
I had to prep for my other job yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Watching the Golden Knights. It was a busy night for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a peek behind the curtains here at VEASAN, a little generational slander I'm about to come up with there. So I did two shows for 2 years, right? Separated in the middle of the day, right? I did 2 hours in the morning, 3 hours at night. And Ben Wilson, who I love, and Ben Wilson's going to be more famous than all of us when all said and done. I remember 3 days after I stopped that he did it, he filled in for a couple of my shows. He, with that straight face, came to me and he's like, whew, I've done 5 shows in 3 days. They better give me some time off. And I'm looking at this kid. I'm like, are you guys serious? What's wrong with you kids?
We need our sleep. We need our beauty sleep. Come on now.
My God. Paul Carr, you have anything to say about a softer, younger generation? Anything?
I did Mike and Mike at ESPN for 2 years, waking up at 2 a.m., coming in by 3, and then, you know, when different people would fill in, they'd do it for like a week, and they're like, man, I am white.
Wow, yeah. This is too much. I don't know how you do it. Paul Carr joins us, everybody, from True Media Networks, the Expected Value podcast, who has... as is per usual, it seems like these days, not just picks in one league, but picks in multiple leagues. Let's start with the fact that you're going to give us a couple Premier League picks, which is standard fare. But then there's also an FA Cup pick coming up. Could you once again, for the umpteenth time, sort of give us the primer on what the heck, for the uninitiated, what the heck is the FA Cup?
FA Cup is basically a nationwide tournament in England. It's a knockout tournament, single legs. Starts with, you know, 700 plus teams. So, you know, your rec league soccer team essentially is kind of in the super early preliminary qualifying rounds. And then eventually, you know, the Premier League teams and the second division teams all come in later in the competition. But we're down to 4. So we've got semifinals this weekend at Wembley. So, yeah, I got to play on one of those games.
Okay. And you said you're coming to town in the summer for what tournament here? This is nothing to do with anything. I'm just curious.
No, CONCACAF Nations League.
Oh, this
is the regional tournament. So The semifinals and final are going to be in Vegas in mid-June. So U.S. is playing Mexico in the semis because Mexico was terrible in kind of the qualifying. So they were the four seed out of the semifinal teams. So it's usually the final, but this is the semifinal. So there's going to be, you know, 50,000 Mexican fans in a 60,000 seat Allegiant Stadium, and that game should be pretty wild.
And when is the U.S. The U.S. Women's World Cup? I already called my shot. When does the Women's World Cup begin?
July 20th in Australia and New Zealand. So going to be some weird. You know, I think the earliest game started, I want to say like 9 p.m. Eastern, and you know, that's the first of three or four that night, and so it's going to be a little weird from a scheduling standpoint.
Should we, and by we I mean the United States of America, should we roll in this, or do we have competition now?
U.S. is the favorite, you know, 3-1-ish most places that I've seen. I wouldn't say it should roll, but because there's probably, you know, there's half a dozen-ish teams that could knock the U.S. off, and you got to win four knockout games, so it's, weird stuff can always happen. The U.S. is going to be the favorite. It's not a huge favorite with a handful of mostly European teams in Australia, not too far behind.
All right. There's always a soccer game going on somewhere in the world. Never stops. All right, let's start with the Premier League. You got a couple of these. These are on Saturday, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to start with Fulham and Leeds over 2.5, minus 105. So Leeds does not have Tyler Adams, American midfielder who's been injured. And in the last six games without him, they've given up. Every game's had at least three goals. And Leeds has allowed 16 goals in their last four games. That is not good. So between that and Fulham, also one of the bigger over teams for the season. These are two of the six worst teams in the league as far as expected goals conceded, shot quality conceded. Fulham attack hasn't been great without our favorite Serbian henchman, Alexander Mitrovic, but they've still been okay. They had three goals, 1.8 XG against Everton last week. So they'll be all right from an attack standpoint. I think there's going to be goals one way or the other. Other here as there have been in most of these team games this year. So minus 105 over 2.5.
All right. And then also a both teams to score play. You love these.
Yeah. Brentford, Aston Villa. Aston Villa has been the hottest team in the league, except maybe Man City for the past couple months. They've won 5 in a row, 7 of 8. They've scored in 18 straight games since Halloween. And even though they've only given up two goals in the last eight games, the defense hasn't been that good. 9 expected goals, but only 2 goals allowed. So they're running pretty hot as far as opponents not shooting well. And Brentford scored in 13 of 15 home games this season. Solid mid-table, upper mid-table type of team. They play well, especially at home. So I think both teams get a goal here. Minus 120 is the price that I got that one at.
And this always kills me. Again, the American sports fan sensibilities is always like sort of off on these kind of things. Like if the Cowboys and Skins played a random game in the middle of the season, but it didn't affect the standings, right? This is Man City.
Yep.
In their game against, who are they playing again? They're playing
Sheffield United.
Sheffield United, right. But not a Premier League game.
Correct. This is an FA Cup semifinal. So this is a 90-minute bet. You can make a different bet if you want to have to advance or to qualify, which is essentially to go through to the final, whether it's extra time or penalties or whatever it is. So I'm going to lay the 2.5 here. Man City -2.5 plus 105. So Sheffield United was in the Premier League last year. They're in the Championship this year, the second division in England, and they're in second place. They're probably going to get promoted. So they're a solid, you know, Championship team, but also a Championship team. This is Man City. Man City is the best team in the world right now. So if we throw out that Wednesday game against Bayern, when City didn't have to win, so they just kind of muddled their way to a draw. City had scored 3 goals in 6 straight games and had the underlying numbers to match it. And they won 5 of those 6 by 3-plus goals. And that includes games against Bayern and Liverpool and RB Leipzig, teams that are way better than Sheffield United. So this is just, City is by far the better team. They have a tendency to just roll in these games against lesser competition. And Sheffield United is going to be missing a couple of key midfielders who are actually on loan from Manchester City. And so they can't play against them in a competition. So a couple of regular starters for Sheffield won't be in this game. So I think City cruises here and wins by at least 3.
All right, laying the 2.5. Again, all 3 of these games on Saturday, 2 in the Premier League, 1 in the FA Cup. Arsenal only up 4 points. The slowest death ever, isn't it, in the Premier League?
All my Arsenal friends are just out already.
I told you.
Arsenal and Man City play Wednesday, so that'll be the big one.
That will be the big one, for sure. Worth a bet on Arsenal? You wouldn't touch it. No, nothing.
Not at the like plus 175-ish price.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
NBA with Nick Whalen from RotoWire. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.